It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 44 today. Glad you're with us. We look forward to this moment all week long to share the life, naked, nudist, naturist, clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. So you've come to the right place, and we are glad that you're with us. Come on in. The pool is fine. The hot tub is fired up. The grill is going full blast. Fruit and vegetables off to the right. Your favorite cold beverage off to the left. If you want hot coffee or tea, that's inside. We have extra towels. We have extra suntan lotion. You've come to the right place to enjoy clothes-free living for all of the right reasons for the next hour with us. How about that? Well, on today's show, we will have another report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. Andy is from Women in Nude Recreation, part of the AANR, American Association for Nude Recreation. This report will be all about the Shangri-La Ranch and their visit there. We will talk to Justin and Nikki today, a short interview. They are from Nude Lease on Life. They discovered social naturism around 2018, and they have never looked back, and they want to share their story and the joys of clothes-free living for all of the right reasons with you. So we will do that, Nude Lease on Life with Justin and Nikki. Of course, our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe, will be here. She'll be here in just a little bit. And our featured interview today is with a gentleman from the state of Arkansas. He goes by the name J.D., and he is here to tell us naked nudism, naturism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons is highly restricted in the state of Arkansas. So if you live there, how can you still enjoy social naturism? How can you still be nude? Well, J.D. will tell us all about it. Part one of my interview with J.D. on today's show and part two on next week's show. Well, thank you again for being with us on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 44. And now let's head out to the Shangri-La Ranch with Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom on the Winter on Wheels I'm Perfect Tour.
Shangri-La, a faraway haven or hideaway of idyllic beauty and tranquility. That was the intent of Jerry and Eddie Shaw, founders of the club. Jerry was a prisoner of war and vowed to Eddie when he returned that he would build her own Shangri-La. In 1959, that vow was to become a reality. The current owners, the Krause family, continue the original intent by offering a great deal of beauty and tranquility for the traveling nudist. And I also love that they continue to honor the prisoners of war and the missing in action by flying flags, and a corner of the clubhouse is reserved for the POW MIA missing man table. Shangri-La is absolutely a haven in a gorgeous mix of cactus, trees, and a myriad of desert plants for those who are lucky enough to call it home. For the rest of us, it's an awesome hideaway from the norm. Cindy, Anner West president and part owner of Shangri-La, welcomed us as we checked in at the office. We were also introduced to her mom, Patty. I noted that the freezer was full of ice cream bars and ice for the upcoming warm weather. There's also a nice selection of nudist necessity to buy, so towels, robes, sarongs, sunscreen. You know, everything the nudist needs. After we got situated in our spot for the weekend, Tom got our flags up, and we immediately had people stop by curious about what we were doing. So there were lots of great conversations all weekend long. One of special importance to me was a woman who stopped by on Friday. This was her very first visit to a nudist club, and I was so impressed with her because she was fully nude and absolutely loving it. I thought how I wished I could have been as courageous as she was during my first visit to a club. Her friend, who was with her, has been trying to get her to come to the club for a long time. She told me she was going through a difficult time in her life, and that was exactly what she needed. I gave her a WOW calendar, and I talked with her about social nudism and what it can do for your mind, body, and soul. And she felt feeling very uplifted and heard as a woman. So on Saturday, as I was setting up for the workshop, in walked Cindy and Patty with just armloads of snacks of all kinds, including some delicious homemade strawberry lemon cupcakes. Oh, they were good. And I had way too many, but who's counting? One of the women who was able to join me was Freddie, and we have been chatting in the winter breakout room on the Anner meet and greets for over a year. And so what an absolute joy to finally get to meet her in person, and she is a beautiful soul. As you may or may not know, one of my focal points is to get women, or to get together as women, to tell our stories, to dive in deeper with each other and create stronger connections, and that is exactly what we did after my talk was completed. We took a group picture, and then most of us just stayed behind, and we talked and talked and shared more stories together. The camaraderie around the room was, it's just what I needed to fill my heart up. Some stories made us laugh. Others brought tears that flowed freely and thankfully down my face. Healing tears and appreciation for the women who opened up to me and shared some of their stories as well. I think it was around 4 o'clock when we all decided we should probably call it a day, though no one was really anxious to go. Thank you, ladies, for filling up my heart, my mind, and my soul. Later that evening, during the dance, several of the women came up to me and thanked me for sharing, and that they appreciated me as well.
With our trek down through Arizona, I haven't been able to find a traditional two-arm cactus. You know, the ones you see on all the posters and all the publicities and things.
License plates.
Everything. Well, Shangri-La has a large, large one here on the grounds. So I know they do exist. So what a great place. People here are so friendly and inviting. Our meet and greet was a group of very chatty men that all love this place. They are working hard to maintain it and keep the people coming into this wonderful place. We spent some time talking about the Anner Gap team. What a great job they're doing, which is working hard so we can enjoy this wonderful way of life. After downing a few beers and snacks.
Not snakes.
Generously. Generously provided by Shangri-La, we all said how much fun it was to get together and chat, which we did for another hour or so.
The DJ danced that night. We just both had a really wonderful time, didn't we, honey?
We did. It was great.
The place was packed out with many dancers wearing bunny ears and tails to be festivitous. And yes, that really is a word, so you got to try it out sometime. Festivitous. The dance floor was always full. I love just sitting back and watching this community enjoying their time together, dancing and talking and laughing. The smell of popcorn drew my attention as Jeff and Cindy made popcorn all night for everyone. If you don't know, popcorn is a food group for me. I love it. Shangri-La has a uniqueness to it that I can only compare to a huge family reunion. Patty told me everyone here is treated like family, and I'd have to agree with that because that's what I felt when we got there. We were just pulling in through the gate, and folks were already saying howdy. It's like my family reunion when each person pulls up in their RV or camper and we all rush to help and greet them. Chances are, when you're in the area, they will have room for you. They have over 200 spots on property, many of which are for permanent residents, but there are a lot available. And who can blame them for making this their home? There are many RV trailer sites and lots of tent camping spots also. And then around 20 rental units if you're not the camping type.
At Shangri-La, we got to spend quality time with new friends and will absolutely be back here. We're even talking about maybe snowbirding down here next year. Who knows? Anything is possible.
Our stay was completely covered by Shangri-La, and we would just like to thank them so much for their incredible generosity in that way and their hospitality during our stay. Until next time.
We hope to see you down the road.
And there you go, the terrific Andy Rogers from Women in Nude Recreation from the AANR and her husband Tom. We thank them for the latest report, and they will be with us again on next week's show. Again, you are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 44 today. We enjoy this time with you. We thank you for being here. And now let's head to the brief interview that I did with Justin and Nikki from Nude Lease on Life. So we are headed to New York today. We're going to talk to Justin and Nikki. They are from Nude Lease on Life. They recently went on the big nude boat. They're going to do it again next year. I think they've done it before. And we're going to find out how they discovered naturism and what's done for them, because they are not lifelong practitioners. It's only been 5 or 6 years. So let's welcome them to the show, Justin and Nikki. First of all, Justin, hello, sir. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Frank. Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to have you with us. I like your hat. Now, our listeners cannot see your hat, but it says it's a baseball hat. I'd rather be naked. Well, that's the greatest hat ever, isn't it?
Yeah. No, thank you. We actually had these made, a couple years ago, just for me, really running around, because it's a great conversation starter. Some people find it funny, you know, in the grocery store waiting to check out or whatever. Sometimes I've had larger conversations about it, and it actually turned into something that we've kind of branded. I've got on wristbands and shirts.
He wears it everywhere.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I did see it for sale on your website. I might need to get one of those. That's a perfect conversation starter, like you just said.
It is. Yeah. And yes, we do have them for sale now on the website as well. So thank you for that.
Oh, you bet. Also, let's welcome to the show Nikki, Justin's wife. Hello, Nikki. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Not bad at all. And you have your name on your shirt this morning. So if I forget what your name is, it's right there.
Yeah, there you go. This is actually a Nude Lease on Life hoodie that we had made.
Speaking of the cruise, we had two of these made. I prefer the zip up, so I have a zip up one, and she has the pullover one. But they each have our names and the Nude Lease on Life on the back. It actually says I'd rather be naked and say no to tan lines on the wrists and stuff like that. So yeah, we had them made specifically for the cruise for those cooler nights, and they served us well.
Yeah, and looks good, sounds good. Well, let's talk about, if you don't mind, just for a moment before we get into the backstory of each of you. What was life like on the big nude boat? What's going on there? And I know you enjoyed it. You booked it again for next year. So just tell us a little couple of tidbits about it.
Yeah, it's really such a great time. So many great people. All kinds of activities and events we could do on the ship and excursions we could do off the ship that were also nude. We absolutely love it.
Yeah, it was, like you said, our second time on the big nude boat. We went in 2020 for our first big nude boat, and we loved both of those experiences. Actually, the only reason we didn't sail in between those 4 years was the duration of the cruise. You know, they had longer 14-day ones that we weren't able to get the time off of work and things like that for. Okay. So we were really looking forward to getting back on board as soon as there was a shorter itinerary again. And like you said, we are booked for next year. It's a 10-day, so slightly longer. We haven't told work yet. We'll figure that out. We're going either way.
We'll figure it out somehow.
But yeah, it's really a great time. It's like a floating nudist resort. It's got all of your favorite people, an amazing community, so many things to do. And it was like a bit of a reunion this year. We caught up with so many old friends and met so many new wonderful people as well.
Yeah, that's great to see and great to hear. Now, when you mention these excursions, is that something, must you take an excursion when they say to, or can you stay on the boat and relax, or do you have your choice, or what's going on there?
You can stay on the boat and just relax if you'd like. The excursions are kind of pre-booked. You know, you have a selection. Okay. There's, clothed ones. There's, there's ones that you can't be nude on, but they do offer a handful of nude ones, mostly going to, it seems like, private islands or private beach clubs. Mm-hmm. That are basically held for us for the day.
Yeah, Bare Necessities does a great job at mm-hmm. kind of curating that, the tour and travel company that puts on the big nude boat each year. Mm-hmm. They've been going 30-some years now, 70-something cruises. Wow. And they do a great job at giving you an option if you want it at each port to have some sort of clothing optional excursion. It's a little bit extra money. It's a great experience. It's well worth it. And you can stay on the boat, like you said, but when you're in port, you do have to be covered up, even if that's a sarong or, you know, towel or something like that. So I think those of us that want to be nude as much as possible usually try to have some sort of excursion.
Yeah, when you get to the port, the cruise director will come on and tell you, you know, time to put your clothes on, and everyone kind of goes, and then, you know, once we get far enough away from port, they'll blow the horn and he'll say, and everyone's happy again. Yeah, that's
right. And everybody booing and hissing and everything else.
Yep.
Let's talk to Nikki first, then, if you don't mind, about your backstory. I've read some of the things online. It's made a big difference in your life. How did you find naturism, and what has it done for you?
Yeah, I kind of found naturism through Justin's interest in it without realizing that I had practiced some of it a lot of my life. I mostly was nude around the house, nude sleeping, didn't really venture out in any type of social thing. But for me, you know, he kind of introduced it to me, and we, you know, tried doing a few things, whether it was, you know, a walk in the woods or something like that. And it's helped me so much with my body confidence. I'm somebody, my weight has fluctuated a lot. I've always kind of been insecure, and it's really helped me just feel better about myself in everyday life.
Now, that's the part that a lot of women don't get when I talk to them, women who've never tried naturism before. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel they're overweight, they have a bad body image, which mm-hmm. a lot of women do. It's like, you want me to take my clothes off? And they say, you know, Frank, you don't understand. I want to put more clothes on because I feel so bad about myself. Yet you take yours off, you feel like $1 million. Just tell the ladies and men too, how does that work? Why does that work?
I think it's a bit of realizing that other people aren't judging you the way you judge yourself. Yeah. We are so much, you know, more judgmental of ourselves. We see flaws that other people don't see, and we tend to focus on those. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of get a build up and beat yourself down. You're saying about, you know, speaking to other women. I've, you know, told friends and such, and they're always very interested, but the last thing they seem to say is, you're so brave, I could never do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not like that. I would say, look at me, I'm no model, you know, you can do it. And we've had a few friends, you know, kind of come on board and try it. And a few really enjoyed it. And I actually just got a message from one the other day that we happened to take somewhere. And she said, can you let me know when you're going to someplace again? I want to go.
Wow.
And so, you know, it takes a little bit of stepping out of your comfort zone at first, but then you kind of really realize it's a great place and way to be.
You know, what I've noticed way too often, I've noticed this myself, I've also heard it 5 gazillion times, is a woman in particular, but men too, but a woman will show up wearing, let's just say, a dress, and people will talk behind her back. Ooh, that's the wrong color. A little tight there. You know, maybe she should think of something else next time. And that's not good. And that's what makes, you know, obviously people very upset. And then a woman shows up at a naturist resort or the big nude boat or wherever you're going. All of the clothes come off and no comments are made. It's like, hey, Nikki, how you doing? Good to see you today. You want some coffee? It's a totally different mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely. It has such a different effect than what you would expect.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to comment on anything about your body. But as you said, you know, people will, you know, pick at clothes, your fashion decisions and things like that.
Yeah. And I think, Frank, like you said, it doesn't make sense to someone who hasn't experienced it. They go, why would I want to take my clothes off if I already feel, badly about my body or if I have these things that I'm self-conscious about? Right. But it's a really a combination of when you're seeing all of these other normal bodies and all of them are unique and all of them are beautiful and none of them are bad and none of them are wrong. And when you yourself are nude, like you just said, and nobody else is commenting, nobody else is heckling, nobody, you know, and not only that, you're having great conversation, you know, it's really that 1-2 punch. I think that combination, that's really, really wonderful. You know, such a great experience.
Yeah. Very powerful. Well, Justin, how about you? How did you find naturism? I think you said 6 years ago, what led you to it and what's it done for you?
Yeah. So kind of a little bit of to jump on the back of what Nikki was saying. We met, gosh, 19, 20, almost 20 years ago.
A long time.
And
it's been a while.
And like she said, you know, she, you know, I've lived on Long Island in New York my whole life. She comes from rural Pittsburgh area initially. And so she had a greater access to nature and, you know, maybe just a different upbringing. Like she said, she was sleeping nude and those things. I only knew of pajamas. It was something I was kind of curious about, this freedom that I think she had experienced that I hadn't. So it was something we always kind of spoke about. And like she said, for many years, did amongst ourselves around the house, you know, when we had some privacy in nature. But probably, yeah, about 6 or so years ago, I don't remember what one trigger that caused me to start researching things more, but I'm somebody who tries to, if I'm curious about something, research and learn as much as I possibly can about it. So, social nudity kind of became one of those things for me out of a curiosity. And we kind of went from there. We had a business trip, that took us near Hallover Beach. Around that time, that was our first experience. We know I had known of it. I went to the various websites supporting it. And, I said to Nikki, hey, do you want to just, you know, we're going to be around the corner from here. You want to just go and, we'll bring our bathing suits, no expectations. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our clothes on. If we're uncomfortable, we'll leave. And that was our first experience, with it. And it was wonderful, needless to say. You know, you got that, sort of feeling where you walk onto the beach, there's 1,000 nude people. You then feel uncomfortable because you've got clothes on. You're going to try to find a spot to sit down real quick and kind of take it all in.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. As soon as we walked on the beach and started seeing it, we feel like the awkward ones. I was like, okay, let's go.
Better get them up and fit in and you never turn back. And that's great to hear. Yeah. We've been talking to Nikki and Justin today. We want you to check out their website. Make sure I have this correct, guys. It's nudeleaseonlife.com. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And we actually just relaunched and updated the website a couple months ago here for the start of 2024. We had been, you know, primarily just, and we are still on all of the social media at Nude Lease on Life. You can find us wherever you prefer. But yeah, the nudeleaseonlife.com website is kind of the main hub for us. Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. This is our short interview. We'll have you back in a few months or so to have the full hour interview. We'll get the whole story and everything you guys are doing and going through. And we want to thank you this morning, Justin. Have a great day. And thank you very much for being here today.
You too, Frank. Thank you so much for having us. Great show. Appreciate everything that you and Lisa are doing. And we're looking forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Nikki, you go out there and have a great day as well. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Justin and Nikki from NudeLeaseOnLife.com. And Justin and Nikki, go out there and have a great clothes-free day. We will talk again soon. The terrific Justin and Nikki from Nude Lease on Life. And you can find them at NudeLeaseOnLife.com. And we will have them back later this year for a longer interview. And we appreciate all of their time on today's show. You are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 44, and as you can tell by the music, it's time for our weekly correspondent on naturism, the terrific Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the one and only, the fully clothed, free, and fully smiling, our resident and regular correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And there you are in the same condition. So I think we're doing pretty good today.
That's right. Clothes-free smiling. You ever see an angry, clothes-free person? I don't think I ever have.
Only if they were told to put their clothes on. That would be the only reason they get angry. So what can I tell you?
I remember seeing a TV show long ago, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. That's long ago to me. And the couple had an agreement. If they ever get mad at each other, they're never going to get into it and argue. Both are to get naked first, because when you're clothes free, it's really tough to say mean things or do mean things. And then they can just get to the heart of the core of the issue. Not a bad way to go through life. Maybe we should adopt that as a law in every country in the world. What do you think?
I think that's an excellent idea, because it's really very, very, very difficult to be angry when you're, I mean, that's you're just stripped down to who you are. You can't hide anything behind anything. So I think it's probably not a bad idea at all. It'd probably solve the world's problems. Congress, start stripping.
That's right. Well, I thought we take a look back here, not to get all heavy and deep or anything. About a year ago at this time, we were not doing this show. You know, I have done radio forever. You've done radio before. I've been naked forever. You've been naked for about 20 years on a regular basis. And I thought about doing this show a few times. Like, you know, there's just not enough content out there. The ones out there are decent. They do a good job. I just wanted more. I'd listen to everything two or three times. Like, give me more. Give me more. Well, maybe we should do one. No, we don't have time. Last spring, I think you were here in the meeting when we were talking about the direction of what we're doing here. And somebody said, well, why don't we do a naturism podcast? Well, that was the second person who mentioned it. I mentioned it first. Somebody else mentioned it, not knowing I was thinking of it. And so then we switched everything around, eliminated a few things we did here. And now we're doing it. And we're episode 44 today. One show a week, as we promised, for 44 straight weeks. And maybe that's why you're smiling so much.
It could very well be because it's been a tremendous amount of fun. You know, doing this is not an easy task, especially doing it once a week. And at the speed and the rate that we do and what happens behind the scenes, but it's just so much fun. And even though we were both naturists, we kind of opened up to a world we didn't know existed outside of our realm of being naturists. Mm-hmm. And learning more about how other people live and the issues and things that they are concerned with. So it's been just a lot of fun. That was I think, a very good decision for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, and some people, I think, get the false impression that, you know, we're just here, we're naturists, we do radio, we put these shows together, lickety-split, no problem. Oh, no, that's not how this works. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like anything else in life. If you're going to do it, you need to do it right, put your time, your energy, your resources into it. I won't give the number of hours we put into each show. I've heard it called by others a labor of love. Yeah, it really is. But we do it every week. It's basically impossible to do so, but we're doing it. And I think part of it is because we decided we wanted to, and then we decided how to, and then we allocated the time to do it. So not really a significant level of thinking. It's just, what do we want to do? How can we do it? How can we make it work? And I know you do a lot of writing, very similar to writing. You know, I want to write a book. And then you never start. I don't mean you, but I mean other people. You determine, I want to write a book. Okay, I'm going to write a chapter a week for the next 8 weeks and we'll see what happens. Very similar to that, isn't it?
It is very similar to that. And I think, but in writing, it's easier to start than it is to finish. And that's the commitment level. I mean, you just, you know, because writing can become might be a labor of love, but it's also a labor because, you know, there are periods of time in writing where things can get bogged down, where you get tired of it. You don't know what the next direction is. And that's why, although I'm a pantser, I don't plan out my stories. You still have to have something in your head, some goal, some plan. And that's what I think happens with this show, is that we had a goal and we had a plan for how we were going to accomplish that goal. And I think we've done pretty well with it.
Yeah. And we just stick to it. There's no deviating from the plan. You know, a lot of college football coaches talk about the plan, the plan, the plan. Well, we're not college mm-hmm. football coaches, but we have a plan and we stick to it, you know, involving the background on the guests, you know, exhaustive research and studying that we do before the guests even come on. We basically know everything about a guest that's out there publicly. You know, we don't do anything untoward or nefarious, but whatever's out there, we know, and we'll ask the guests some questions up front. And then we plan that. We plan our segments. We have some shorter interviews. We have other segments. We have other clips we play. A labor of love, yes. And maybe one of these days we'll tell everybody just how many hours a week we put in. It's a one-hour show. Trust me, a whole lot more than 1 hour goes into putting this together. And Lisa, I know you know that and you agree.
I do agree. And one of the reasons that we put in so many hours is not only the physical nature of the show and the information we need, but we have such great feedback from mm-hmm. listeners that, you know, getting emails, getting direct messages, getting all those things, reading through them, you know, sometimes trying to figure out, is there something we can do to help or just comment on? But those things take time too. And that's part of that relationship with the listeners that we've begun to develop. And that to me is the most exciting thing of all of this. It's not only just the fun of doing this show, but also the beginning to know some of these people quite well and and having that relationship that what we do means something to them. And it's kind of cool.
Oh, absolutely. And there are people out there just through this show, I actually feel like they are friends of mine, friends of ours. We've never met them. We might never meet them. We don't know. They live in other countries or other states. But if we ever do get together, I think it'll be instantly connecting because we're already connected in so many ways. We've shared a lot of information on the show, and we share more through the private messages. When we started the show July 1st of 2023, that was episode number one, I thought, okay, we're going to appeal to naturists, those who like the close-free living lifestyle. And we have, I guess what I didn't fully expect is there are a lot of people out there who love the close-free life, but they don't tell anybody. They don't go to resorts. They don't go to beaches. They keep it hidden. And they wonder, because a lot of people have shared this with us, am I weird? That's what they used to think. Am I unusual? Is this a crazy thing that I love to be naked? Am I some kind of psycho? One guy said. And so we've appealed to those people. And what I really get a kick out of is when somebody writes, like this is episode 44, we get these letters every week. So somebody will write this week and say, wow, I just found your podcast, episode 44. I have a lot of catching up to do. And then they go back to one and they go all the way through 44 or however beyond that we are at the point they catch up. That's what a big part of what thrills me too, appealing to the people who practice naturism and have forever, openly so, but also the so-called closet ones. Am I right? Am I normal? Yes, you're normal. And they figure that out. And we brought a lot more people into the world because of it, I think. You agree?
I agree completely. And I think that, you know, we're not only giving information and camaraderie to the people who are naturists, we're doing the same with people who are naturists, but who are openly naturists, but their families aren't involved. You know, we've had an awful lot of situations with couples and all that, you know, that just aren't compatible on this issue. And then we have those people who go, oh, hi, I didn't know what I was, but here I am. And I love this. And I love getting an email from someone who says, oh, I was just listening to episode 6. I'm like, what episode 6? What? I got to go back to my notes. What was it? Episode 6? Because, you know, it all becomes a blur after a while. But but it's just fun to see that enthusiasm. And I think that recognition when they know it's okay to feel the way they do, you know, that's self-esteem issues. That's, you know, that's stop doubting yourself and how you feel. Yeah. And I don't care if they ever walk out of their house naked. No one has to show they're a naturist if they choose not to.
Right.
And so even if they don't, as long as they're comfortable with what they feel and who they are and they're enjoying what they're hearing, then, hey, it's a good thing.
That's right. And on this episode 44, as I like to say, our 44th consecutive week of broadcasting, our 44th episode, you know, do the math, that's one a week. And we're having a great time. We are glad that our listeners are too. And Lisa, we're going to stop right there. And I thought maybe on next week's show, we'll talk about where our listeners are, like literally in the world, where they are, various cities, various countries. How about that for an idea?
I think that sounds wonderful because it's amazing where all these people are coming from.
Everywhere. All right, let's call it there. A resident, regular weekly correspondent on naturism, the great Lisa Monroe. Thank you, Lisa. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Frank. See you next week.
All right. Thank you. The terrific Lisa Monroe. She is here every week for you, and of course she'll be here next week as well. We need to move along quickly here. You're listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 44 today. Thank you for being with us. And now let's get to my interview with JD, highly restrictive environment in Arkansas, he says. So how do you navigate naturism? Well, let's find out. My interview with JD. Let's talk to JD this morning. He's from Arkansas, and as he explains it, not a whole lot of naturist opportunities. You can be naked at home, of course, or if you have some land, you can do that. But where do you go for the socializing piece? Just not a whole lot of places to go. So let's bring him into the show this morning and find out how he discovered naturism, what it's done for him, and how he deals with somewhat of a restrictive environment being where he is. Let's bring you to the show from Arkansas, JD. Good morning, JD. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning. I'm doing well.
All right, good to have you with us here. maybe to start right away, how did you get into naturism? Were you raised as a naturist, a nudist? Or did you discover it along the way? Maybe to start with that piece, how did you find it?
Yeah, I was actually raised extremely conservative religious. I was raised in Utah. People can interpret that however they want to, and that'd probably be correct, but I won't say any names.
Right.
But yeah, I grew up extremely conservative. Nudity was very tied to sex, and therefore nudity was evil. But I found myself as a little kid, even, you know, as soon as I could take my clothes off, I would. Even as a teenager, I remember my favorite. I grew up in a big family, and I would often find myself, I'd lock myself in the bathroom and turn the fan on, and I'd just hang out in there and read a book or do whatever I could, but, you know, to be nude where I could.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people discover that as a kid. Of course, that's where it really is discovered to begin with. Kids love to be naked. They don't even know the difference. They just feel free. It's natural to them. Somewhere along the way, somebody tells us, hey, get a shirt and pants on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a continuing battle. So you even knew, you know, as a youth, this is a pretty good deal. And if I have to go in the bathroom and lock myself in, or nobody will ever see me or suspect, that's what I'm going to do. And you pulled that off pretty well. Nobody suspected in your family?
No. No one said never expected anything. It's funny. They would have never expected anything. I was, most of my childhood and youth, I was pretty overweight. And so I was actually very insecure when I was around my peers and things. But yeah, I found this liberation in my kind of private naturist lifestyle. Yeah. And that was kind of all the way through till my teenage years. And then I got a job as a lifeguard at a local pool. Mm-hmm. Loved it, and eventually worked my way up into management positions where all of a sudden I had keys, and late at night I could go with other naturist friends and we could swim with the lights off, no one could see, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a lot of that kind of my teenager years, working towards that kind of thing. And up until probably my 20s, or I guess I should say till I was 19, naturism, I didn't even know what it was. I just knew I liked to be nude. Yeah. And I was with other people, and there was no nothing sexual about it. It just felt good.
Well, even in your lifeguarding days, you had keys. You can sneak in at night or overnight with your friends. How did you meet up with those naturist friends? How did you discover they were, and how did they discover you were?
It kind of, back then, I would say it probably wasn't naturist as much as, you know, as teenagers was skinny dipping. It was just a bunch of people that were totally fine swimming nude together.
Yeah.
I don't think we really had a label on it. We knew that there was nothing beyond just a bunch of friends nude, but growing up where we did, I don't think any of us had ever even heard the term naturism or nudism.
Probably. Yeah. Probably so. And I hear that a lot, and I did that a lot, and I didn't hear naturism or nudism when I was a kid. I just knew that I loved to be naked, and I was allowed to be so. My parents never said put on pants or shirt. It was just accepted. That's just the way we do things. You want to have your clothes off? Have your clothes off. It was never actually spoken. I guess maybe that's the best part of all, because as soon as you start to speak about it, then negativity creeps in. Yeah, go ahead and keep your clothes off, but maybe you should have them on once in a while. See, that negative piece creeps in.
Yeah.
And my parents never said a word other than, yeah, you know, go for it. Never told me to not. So you found through swimming nude with others, what did that do for you in terms of just feeling more alive and feeling more in tune with the world and with yourself?
Yeah, for me, honestly, it was like I mentioned, when I was younger, I had a lot of self-confidence issues. And like as a teenager, I didn't date much. I didn't socialize much with anyone. But for some reason, once the clothes came off, I was a totally different person. I still am. I'm still very much that way. I'm a totally different human being. I'm more me. I feel free to talk about and answer questions. I can have discussions with anyone from any class, any wherever.
You know, I've heard that from a lot of people, and I've experienced it myself many times. You know, taking the clothes off literally strips away everything. You know, you're not an attorney now, or an engineer, or a bus driver, or a maintenance worker. You're just you. You're a person, a human being, a soul. And you find, it sounds like you found this, I have found everybody who does it can now have a conversation with anybody because you're on equal ground. It just makes everybody feel better. You've discovered that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was one of the biggest perks for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes away, you know, I used to tell people because of my corporate career, I used to have to buy fairly expensive suits. And I looked like $1 million. When I walked into a room, everybody knew somebody special had just walked in. Well, that's not the case now with naturism. Now you're just all the same. You know, you have bodies, you have skin. Let's sit down and, you know, have some coffee and talk. No pretenses, no nonsense. And it works every time, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what's going on in the state of Arkansas? And I'm guessing it's not the only state, although it might be one of the few. No naturist opportunities, or very few, or they're just too far away to make it a regular thing, or what?
Yeah, in the state itself, there are none.
Wow.
There are no opportunities. In fact, I actually, when we moved here, I should mention I met my wife in my 30s, went to a naturist resort, and she found it. So when we moved here, I was like, oh, let's look up what there is. We're in the South. It's hot. There's got to be opportunities.
Right.
And I found out that in Arkansas, yeah, at least from what I've been able to research, so don't quote me on this,
yeah,
but it is actually illegal to be nude in front of anyone besides your physician and your lawfully married spouse.
And this is the Arkansas in the United States, correct?
Correct, correct. The one directly below Missouri and above Louisiana.
Yeah. Okay, I know, yep, the place.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I could be totally wrong. I'm not a lawyer. But when I was doing my research, I just kept stumbling across different people quoting some version of a code that it's illegal to be nude in front of anyone that's not family or your doctor.
Now, have you seen or heard of any incidents where people got arrested for that? You know, they were in their backyard with no clothes on and somebody happened to spot them and the police show up?
I haven't. And honestly, with the way people walk around, it's so hot, especially right now. We're going through a huge heat wave and people are walking around basically in their bathing suits anyways. So I can't imagine. But then again, it is very conservative down here. I mean, church on every street corner of a different denomination. And there's a lot of religion, which, not to say, but, you know, unfortunately, I feel like a lot of religious communities tie nudism to sin.
Yeah.
And I think it closes off some minds that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody told me not too long ago, you mentioned people basically walk around in their bathing suits. That's actually in many ways more sexualized,
mm-hmm,
because now the parts that are covered up are the parts that might intrigue you the most.
Yeah,
nobody really
cares
about a calf, but and that's open. You can see the calf, but a breast or other body parts, ooh, those are covered up. I wonder what's under there. And then you start to go down that road a little more, and that's where it gets dangerous. Whereas with naturism, there's none of that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was what my wife noticed the first time she ever experienced it, was she was like, oh, my goodness, everyone's body is different. Everyone's body is, you know, everyone's, I guess you could say everyone's imperfect. We're all imperfect. We're all perfectly imperfect. And and she noticed that, and immediately she was like, okay, then I guess if this is the case, then it's okay. And she adapted to it really quick because that's what she felt.
Yeah, I've never seen a situation, whether they happened before or not, I've never heard of them happening. I've certainly never witnessed anything where people take off their clothes at a naturist place and other people start laughing, or, hey, you know, put your shirt back on, honey, you look terrible. None of that goes on there. I mean, literally none of it. Yeah. Whereas on a beach, I have seen it before. You know, a woman takes off her cover up and let's just say she weighs 300 pounds and the suit is way too small for the body. People do make comments and you can see people kind of snickering or tapping somebody on the shoulder. Hey, you know, look at her, look at him. Totally different, you know, with naturism. We just accept each other as we are. I don't know if you can explain it. I know I can't explain it, but maybe take a shot. Why is that? Why is removing our clothes in social settings so liberating and so freeing?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is I compared it when I was describing it to a friend who asked, who I kind of explained naturism to. I explained it to them similar to when you're living a lie and you're not living your full truth and you're not ever sharing that full truth of yourself. And I have a lot of friends in that LGBTQ community, and they've spoken about, you know, when they came out and how liberating that was and how they all of a sudden could be themselves. And I feel like removing your clothes is almost like, I mean, putting them back in the closet. Putting your clothes back in the closet is a way of helping you just come out and be yourself and accept who you are. It doesn't matter if you have stretch marks. It doesn't matter if you're missing your hair, if you have a bald spot. It doesn't matter, because everyone has something that they might worry about, but no one cares. I don't know. It's the closest I can come to.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. There was a woman on Twitter. She posted a photo not too long ago. She was going to spend a week at a naturist resort. She had talked about that in several posts. You know, I'm going this day, I'm going 2 days and 1 day, and I'm here, and a bunch of pictures, whatever. And then she posted a picture of her closet in the room at the naturist resort. It had one shirt and a pair of shorts. That was it. Like maybe 50 hangers, and 48 of them were empty. And she said, this is my entire wardrobe for the week. It's what I wore here. It's what I'll be wearing home. And if that doesn't get people excited, I don't know what does. Like, there's nothing to put on. There's no, you don't have to go out and spend money. You don't have to try to outdo somebody. It's just, you are who you are, and let's get to it. And I'm guessing, and tell me if I'm wrong, but have you seen the naturist community when people get together as naturists, just more friendlier and more open to each other?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. Kind of like I was saying about even with myself, in my normal, I say normal, but in my day to day, I'm more of a reserved. I sit quietly. I come across, honestly, my wife describes it as having a kind of a scowl. Like I have a resting, just frustrated face. Yeah. I'm not. I'm actually a fun loving person and everything. And that gets to come out. It gets to come out really well when I at naturist places and things like that.
Well, I've noticed, you know, on the textile beach, for lack of a better term, most people kind of sort of keep to themselves. You might have two or three people here in a blanket, one person alone on a blanket there, 10 over there, but there's no mingling. I was like, and this is my spot, stay away. It's kind of unspoken. Whereas a naturist place, when I've been, whether it's a nude beach or a nudist resort, anytime I walk around, say, hey, you know, what's your name? Why don't you come over here? We'll, you know, have a drink together or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, it promotes that openness, and it's not inappropriate. Like you said earlier, a lot of people equate nudity with sex. Oh boy, their clothes are going to come off. They're all going to the same resort. You know what's going to happen there. But that has nothing to do with it, does it?
No, not at all. And it's amazing to see not only that, but kind of the sense of community that I feel like has been lost in modern society comes back, especially because a lot of resorts, I mean, I say a lot, but of the couple I've been able to go to, they really frown upon having your phone out. So now you're making real human interactions for the first time possibly in weeks for some people, you know? And so all of a sudden you're having this and you get this sense of community. And I found it really quick. I mean, one fun story is our favorite resort that we've gone to. We had a rainstorm roll through and we're campers. We're working through some, my wife is finishing some serious schooling. So we don't have a lot of money right now, but we camp, but I know when it was camping, our neighbors next door, they were grilling and they had all their, you know, big canopies and everything. And they're like, hey, come. And they just invited us to have dinner. It kind of became everyone potlucked. People brought their coolers over. We put camp and it really quickly became what I feel like really humanity's missing today.
Yeah. And I don't think you'd get that at a textile camping resort. You know, when my kids were little, we'd go camping a lot. Not once was I invited. Hey, why don't you bring your kids over here? Let's have some dinner together. It was pretty much, you know, the hand up. You didn't, not physically, but don't come over here. And by the way, could you guys keep it down over there? Because we're trying to have fun by ourselves over here.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different. Now back to Arkansas for a minute. So do you think there's literally nothing there in terms of a nudist resort or a naturist beach? Nothing at all.
You know, I found somewhere and I can't even tell you where. We fairly recently moved here. And by fairly recent, we've been here a little over a year. I mean, you've heard the local where the skinny dipping spots are on the lake or in the creek, but they always say, like, if anyone's around, don't do it. Like it's very quickly followed. I know that I found somewhere, I want to say it was almost like an Airbnb that somewhat in their name advertised like we're okay with you being naturists on our property, but it was it was one of those where I'm like, are you really, or is it? It was just so vague, and I think it's because of what may be the law here. I should dig it more into it.
Yeah, well, if it's not the law, it's probably pretty close to the law. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't be testing it, but I'm guessing that's an antiquated law, probably put on the books a long time ago, and I don't know why, but maybe things were more puritanical back then.
Well, I mean, half of Arkansas's counties are still dry counties, so they don't even sell liquor in half the counties here. So, it could be.
Well, I didn't realize that was the case. So,
yeah,
I don't know if we'd call that conservative or not. Just a different way of looking at life. Like, let's just stay home and drink our cookies and or have our cookies and drink our milk and call it good, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of happy people here, so I can't fault them.
What about your family? Now, obviously, you grew up in a family, parents, you had siblings, and this wasn't allowed to be happening, so you never tried it. But do they know about your lifestyle now and kind of things that you like to do?
Some of my siblings do. My mother is still extremely, extremely conservative I don't know how to word it. She wouldn't take it well. We'll just put it that way. She wouldn't understand. A couple of my siblings know. They thought it was crazy. when we first found naturism, it was in Indiana. We were living in Chicago at the time, and we drove down. It was during pandemic, and we found a resort there and loved it. And we'd often go there, and my sister was living in the Midwest as well. So we would oftentimes kind of make a road trip and stop and camp, and then go to her house and then stop and camp and come back if we had time. We told her about it. They definitely thought it was a little wild. They raised their eyebrows at it and were like, huh, what? But they didn't, they weren't upset. We'll say that they're still good.
Yeah. That's good to hear, because as we've mentioned a couple of times now, people equate going to a resort and whipping your clothes off. Oh boy, it's party time. We're going to be having 10 chicks per guy and 10 men per woman. And it's just going to be a big hootenanny.
Yeah.
Not the case at all. So I'm glad your siblings have accepted it. Now, your mother doesn't know at all?
No. Yeah, okay. No. I mean, she's aware that I live a lifestyle different than how I was raised. She knows that I definitely, live that way. She's not fully aware of all the details of it, per se. But I mean, growing up, we weren't, like, my sisters weren't even allowed to wear two-piece swimming suits.
Sure. Yeah. No.
I had to wear knee length all the time, and I mean, it was rather risque when I joined the water polo team, and we had to wear Speedos, and I remember my mom talking to the coach and being like, well, does he have to, is that the uniform? Is that?
Yeah. So. Can't he wear a big, thick pair of gym shorts and an extra thick t-shirt? And he'll have the slowest time on the team, or won't be able to move as fast, but at least he'll have something on. You probably got that a lot, implied.
Yep.
I talked to this woman maybe 2 or 3 years ago. She was raised in a similar fashion as you described, very conservative, don't have any skin showing at all, maybe your hands and face on occasion, but that's about it. And then she met this guy, and they got married, and he was a fully blown naturist, had been since birth, so had his entire family. He was raised as a naturist. His parents were always nude. His siblings were nude. It's just how they did life. And he explained it to her, and she goes, well, I'll give it a shot, whatever. And she found out instantly she loved it. Can't believe I missed this in life. Never would have thought about it. And then the first gathering came at the parents' home. I think they were already married. Maybe not. Doesn't really matter for the story. But he said, oh, by the way, when we go to my parents' house for this cookout, be about 12 people. They're all family. No one's going to have any clothes on. And you kind of have to sort of go with the program here. And of course, her upbringing kicked in. Well, I don't think I can do that. I can be naked with you. I can go to resorts and beaches where I don't know anybody except for you, but your whole family, that's just kind of weird. He said, no, it's not weird. It's totally normal and natural. What will be weird is if you keep your clothes on. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. So they had a series of discussions. She finally agreed to go for it. And was a little apprehensive when she got there, but took her clothes off with her husband. They went in the back room, took their clothes off, and she said instantly she felt like she was part of a family. Now, that really can't be described, and you can't convince people of that until they try it themselves. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was amazed when we discovered naturism as a couple. So I say when my wife discovered it. Back in Utah, I had found the Wasatch Naturists. So I got to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
They do swims once a month. And I found them, and unfortunately, it's getting better. But I would say back a little while ago, I feel like the single male, there was a title or a stigma, or kind of. And so I'd go to the swims, and I was welcome, but you could tell I was the single male, maybe.
Yeah.
But then when we went with my wife, we were in Chicago for several years, and we probably only made it out, and it's kind of those moments make the year, but like you only get out to the resort maybe 3-4 if you're lucky, especially with a busy work schedule.
Right.
We made it down there a few times, and man, the people we met there in the few weekends during that summer or the few weeks during that summer, they were some of our closest friends we made in the entire few years we were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if I were to tick them out, Chicago friends and naturist friends, we probably made more in those few weekends than we ever did in one of the biggest cities in the U.S.
I believe it. Yeah. Did you ever have those friends over and just have a naturist socialization, either grilling or just sitting around playing cards or whatever you do?
We tried to a couple times. Like I said, we were in Chicago during the COVID pandemic, and they took it extremely serious in that city.
Yeah.
Indiana had much looser restrictions. That's why we were able to go to the camp.
Yeah.
But Chicago itself, they were very strict, and people in Chicago were very, they held themselves to that city plan. So it was difficult to get people together.
Yeah. Just to get them out of the house is probably tough, let alone go to somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but that happened all over the place. It wasn't
right. Yeah. Yeah. It was a global thing. So
yeah, we certainly can't go out of our house because who knows what's going to happen, but, and we didn't know what was going to happen. I think we figured it out now, but we'll save that for another day.
Exactly.
But you know, as I mentioned, so I've basically been naked since I was born, you know, literally like everybody else, just never got around to putting clothes on. And so I've always accepted it as natural. That's just what I do. Now, somebody told me a few years ago, they said the real key is getting in social situations with other naturists, which I had done. I just never thought of it at the conscious level. But that really does open your eyes, your mind, your body and soul to everything, as we've discussed already. Because now I don't know if I can properly put it into words for somebody who's never tried it. It just makes you feel free. Now your heart and soul and mind are on display, and not your tight pants or your loose shirt or fancy purse or fancy suit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that people use their clothing as an outward expression of their inner personality. And I think once you take that away, your inner personality now gets to be your clothing. I mean, who you are gets to be your clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it's like, it's not the person in the fancy suit. It's not the person in the gym shorts and a tank top. It's, you know, it's so-and-so who loves barbecue and or so-and-so whose favorite thing is coming here on the weekend or so-and-so, you know, it's you've learned who people really are. And it's such a crazy social experiment. And it's not even an experiment. That's the funny thing, is a social return to what was always humanity. Yeah. And now we're finally embracing again. And I think those who embrace it are able to see, like, this is what we're missing.
Yeah. Now I've seen people on the beach or even at a resort, but not a nudist resort, just a, you know, regular camping place. I've seen them get angry for one reason or another. Somebody's making too much noise. They couldn't find something in the cooler, so you'd hear some cussing. Or, you know, I've never heard that at a nudist beach or a naturist resort. I've never seen anybody get mad. Have you?
No. And I honestly, I mean, I even saw, like, you know, when they'd have one of the resorts we liked to was adults. It was naturist, but it was adults, so alcohol was permitted. And if anyone even celebrated a little too much, it was a community feeling. It was a really quick, like, hey, you know, why don't you come sit down for a little bit? Or, hey, do you want a hot dog? Like, take that off your stomach. Or it never escalated. There was no escalation, I guess, would be the way I'm trying to put it.
Yeah. Just another benefit to the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
We're talking to JD this morning from Arkansas, and lives in a state where he just can't find anywhere to go to celebrate the clothes free life. So where do you go? Are there, you mentioned Louisiana and Missouri. Is that where you have to go, or other states?
There's a couple in Oklahoma nearby. Okay. If you cross the border over that way. I know there's one that way. I can't remember the name of it. We haven't been able to go yet. My wife's schedule is chaotic, but for us, what we've done is we do it. I mean, like I said, we're in a heat wave. It's nice to save some money on the AC. You get to keep your house a little bit warmer. So a lot at home. I've found the certain corners of my backyard where I've scoped out that the neighbors can't see me, and lay out in the sun there, or set out the little, what would it be called? Wading pool kind of thing. Hang out there. Yeah. I mean, when it's going to be 107 with a real feel of 115, you find about anywhere you can to stay cool.
Yeah. Well, they found, you know, throughout the world, of course, this heat wave is going on, you know, above a certain part of the equator. And they found that more and more people, I think they describe it as millions more, are discovering naturism and nudism. The terrific JD from the state of Arkansas, highly restrictive state in which to live if you're a naturist, nudist, clothes-free living for all the right reasons. We appreciate JD today. Part two of my interview with him next week. Well, thank you for being with us today on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 44 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.